Thursday, the 4th of September, Dalad Errol, Rabbi Moshe Flumenbaum, The Why and How of Checking Tefillin and Mezuzah.
Chodesh Elul, in the halakhas of Chodesh Elul, it's brought down the Minhag Yisrael of checking Tefillin and Mezuzah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it down. In the Rishonim, where it comes from, it actually says, Minhag Yisrael is dope, Tefillin. Mezuzah, the lev are called Ben Adam, and it's a process of Elul in itself that we look at ourselves to check our own mitzvahs, and in the physical part of it, we check ourselves in terms of our home, on a more individual level, our heart and our mind, and that's when it's brought down, the Monte Fran breaks down, the Lev are called Ben Adam. But beyond the minhag of checking tefillin and mezuzahs in Elul, there is a halacha that tefillin and mezuzahs have to be checked. Today I'm going to concentrate on mezuzahs. Mezuzahs are one of the tayag mitzvahs, mitzvahs aseh. The mitzvah in and of itself is divided into a situation of a deraisa and a derabbanan. Everyone agrees that the outside entrance to one's home is a deraisa, a proper gate is a deraisa. However, once you get within the home, then it becomes a machlekes, whether it is a deraita or a derabbanan. In practical terms, you're still required to have a mezuzah. So, let's understand what it means. The mezuzah itself, which is, of course, the Torah teaches us two parshas, Parsha Shema, Parsha Vayim Shemoa. And yes, I have found mezuzahs that had the word Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Soli Olam Va'ed inside, which is totally possible. Have to first be written by a Sefer Musmach. They need to be, even when you buy a new mezuzah, one has to make sure that the mezuzah is checked properly. It should be checked by a Megiyah Musmach, which is a different occupation than a Sofer who writes. Today, Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us the technology to avoid nifshalim of chaser v'yesirim, so they should also be checked, but a computer check is not a proper check. This is can be 100% puzzle, even though it has all the letters there, because letters are touching, or letters are broken, or the letters are slightly misformed, that the computer program will still read it as the letter. Meaning again, when you have a shilas tinok that one goes in the shul and they make a big fuss about on the Sefer Torah and they call up a child to identify the letter, just because it's identifiable doesn't mean that it's kosher. There are approximately 5,000 structural points to make one mezuzah kosher that a sofer needs to examine to make sure are there. Because of that, many people call up, I bought very good mezuzahs, they need to be checked. I'll take them off myself, I'll read them, and I'll see if there's anything messed up, if the letter got smeared, if the letter looks broken, or something like that. I'll just check it myself. There's a concept in halacha of an ayin shel mumcha and an ayin beinonis. What's that? An ayin beinonis is a regular person. He goes ahead, he sees what he's looking at. Looks good? It's fine. And in halacha, the halacha many times requires an ayin beinonis. What's a classical example? Well, let's fill in. Does it look square? If it looks square, then it's square. If it doesn't look square, it's not square. Now, the truth of the matter is, the ayin beinonis can see within, on average, 1 millimeter. The ayin mumcha sees normally within 0.2 of 1/100 of 1 millimeter. And is about 300 times more accurate. Therefore, the ayin shel mumcha, when checking to see if a letter is cracked or not, or is touching or not, is going to be far more precise. So if you try reading it yourself, besides the fact that rolling it and unrolling it, if you don't know what you're doing, you can damage it, you may just miss something because you're not trained for it. Also, you're not trained in that field. So you don't know what you're looking at other than a graphic artist's piece. It's like a computer programmer knows what's in the program, how he's going to write the language of it, and goes ahead. To the average person, it's a bunch of gibberish. That's all it is. But to that person who understands the code and how it's designed and how it's supposed to inner work, he knows what he's doing. Same as applies to a person who's checking. He knows what he's looking for. He's a trained mumcha in doing it. He's the diagnostician, just like a physician, but for his special item. So one shouldn't get the idea they can check a mezuzah by themselves. How often? How often do you need to check a mezuzah? The halakha says twice in the shemitah. Now, does that mean the first year and the seventh year, or what? It really means the kavana of it is every fourth year. Wherever you started in the shemitah cycle, whether it be shnat shemitah now, or a meiser oini, or whatever it is, every fourth year. It isn't on a stopwatch. Every 3.5 years, look, we did it in Elul, we'll do it in Nisan 3.5 years. It's that fourth year. But it's clear that the kavana is not to do it in the fifth and sixth years, 2 years back to back, and then forget about it for another umpteen years. The technical reason of that is mezuzahs are made from natural materials. The base is parchment. Parchment is a hide. Hides are cellulose and deteriorate. They are treated with a combination of chemicals, all of which are designed to burn off the hair that's on them, and all of them do exactly what they're supposed to do. They will deteriorate. Ink is water-based. It includes natural materials, of which ferrous sulfur is one of them. Ferrous is iron. Iron and water rust. That's why you'll see on Sifrei Torah that they turn red, because you're seeing the process of ionization occurring within the ink naturally. That's exactly why you have old red Sifrei Torah. And the other reason that you see with old Sifrei Torah is that they flake off the letters. Why? Again, the bond from the parchment and the ink. In the parchment, in order to make it pliable, one has to keep a certain fat and water content in there. Now, that wants to sweat out of the pores of the ink, and it pushes out the ink. Over a period of time, physical nature, the Briyas Olam, will take precedence, and it will push out the ink. So that's why it will happen. Now, whenever you have a location, as in bright, sunny, dry, non-humid England, you have this phenomena of moisture absorption. The moisture in the air, the parchment will work like a sponge to suck it up. Now, of course, it sucks it up anywhere it can. If the mezuzah is wrapped improperly, that process will continue much faster. Now, improperly, interestingly enough, will include using cling wrap. Now, most people say, well, cling wrap doesn't let the water in, but it allows for condensation. And then, once it's the high absorption rate of the parchment absorbs that moisture, the cling wrap then doesn't let it out, doesn't let it dry out. So when wrapping the mezuzahs, many people in the misnomer use plastic. The answer is actually use greaseproof paper. Because if it got wet because somebody spilled on it, greaseproof paper will protect that. However, it isn't airtight, and therefore will let a little bit of the air in whatever heat you have. Now, even in a home, if you think about a home, today, because of economics, many people keep their homes cooler during the day. in the winter there's still a lot of moisture around. There are new covers that have been developed literally within the last year that are now coming to England. There's a company called the Darot who did it, and they have two models. One of them actually has a capsule inserted into their cover with a moisture absorbent material inside, and similar to what they put into vitamins and things of that nature, which all have hexes from the Rabbanim and everything. But technically what they do is they protect the mezuzah, and that's something to take as an investment to keep your parchments, because covers are cheap, but the parchments aren't. And also there's an inyan of saving the mezuzah, because there's a din of what's called mechikas Hashem. If you know that you have a mezuzah that's going to be in the weather, like on a shed, like on a gate, and you know it's going to get exposed to weather, one should make a special effort to get a cover that's going to protect it against the weather, as in not to prevent the idea of it becoming possible. Why? Because there is an issur d'oraisa of mechikas Hashem. And one shouldn't have an avak type of situation that I put the mezuzah up knowing it's improper. For instance, a cover that's open in the back, or a metal cover which the heat in the sun will bake it. And also, again, metal transfers not only the hot and the cold, but it also has the matter of condensation we found. Also these plastic ones with the little silicon corks, if many times when you go to check it, you'll see actual mold and mildew on the inside of it, because again, condensation. Wood is actually, in this case, the cover will go, but it will protect the mezuzah. How do you check a mezuzah? What's the procedure? Procedure is mezuzah. First of all, we have a requirement of having mezuzah, you know, as they say, 24/7. Now, one of the misnomers is when people say, how many days when you move into a home, how many days do you have to have a mezuzah up? The answer is immediately, with the exception of when you rent from a goy in chutz la'aretz. That is the only time that you are given 30 days. If you purchase, or if you rent even in Eretz Yisrael, or if you purchase in chutz la'aretz, you're immediately chayav as soon as you take possession and start using as a base oitzer, as a storage area, to put that in. Now, if you are doing renovations, ask the Rav, because there are very halachas. I once went to a Rav in Edgeware, and I asked him, I said to him, you paskin according to Machlekes Hazanish and Shabina Rav, which side you put it, you paskin like the Hazanish? He says, no, I paskin like the Shabina Rav. I said, where's your mezuzah? He says, oh, I bought it from Rabbi Plony. Maybe he paskin that way and I just never noticed. So we walk outside to the other side of his porch door, and there's no mezuzah there also. And he looks and he slaps his face. He says, you know, before Sukkot, I changed the door. I just realized. The goyim took the whole frame with them. With the mezuzah, and he never realized it, because during all the winter he never went out to his sukkah porch. So when having renovations, or a painter or something like that, protect the mezuzahs. Just take them off. A, just with a painter, he shouldn't paint them, and B, the workmen shouldn't by accident just throw it out. So again, when we're moving in or doing renovations, ask the Rav at the time what instructions should be followed and how you deal with it. Mezuzah should be taken off to be checked. If you do not have the ability, or you don't know how to take it out of the case, the examiner should, at least if he's a professional, he should have all the tools to be able to remove the cover. Sometimes the cover has to be destroyed to be able to accommodate that. A classic example is if there's just, they were painted again, and the screw on the bottom got covered with paint, and it's just mucked up so you can't do it, or somebody tried unscrewing it and ruined the threads. So you have to know how to take a hacksaw and cut it without killing the parchment inside. Ideally, when taking it off, you should do it so that it's the same day service. Unlike tefillin, where you can borrow somebody else's tefillin, mezuzahs is a little bit harder to do. Mezuzahs should be checked, according to the Ari 333, unless you made an arrangement that they should be checked all in one shot, in which case even all the mezuzahs can be taken down. There is a minhag to leave one mezuzah on the front door, and then just switch it and check that one mezuzah also. But if you know you're going to somebody who's going to do it, take it in the morning and finish it in the evening, that's what should be done. It should be taken down and finished. Ideally, each mezuzah should be noted where it is from. Practically speaking, put it in a used envelope, write down either a code number or a room, so you can identify, and put it back to the same location, so we have no problem with kedusha. Putting a mezuzah that was the front door mezuzah in a side room or a pantry, and putting, you know, which would lower the kedusha of it. But also, if you put it in an envelope, it's easier for the examiner to know exactly where it came from. If there are any side notes, such as this mezuzah has indications of water damage, this mezuzah is an older mezuzah showing signs of fainting, right? This mezuzah is of a certain nusach, and we'll get to that in a second. The sofer is able to identify and make a note so you know what you need. And also, chas v'shalom, if there's a room that is pasul for whatever reason, you know, we can then advise and deal with the issue whether I need a bracha said on that replacement mezuzah or not. Because again, if it came from a place that is a Safik the Rabbanan lehako and brachas, we wouldn't say it. But if we don't know where it's from, now we made ourselves bigger problems. So this way we just eliminate issues. As we said, mezuzahs should be done morning to night. It's preferable not to take them off at night to check them the next day. So, you know, the same time, just reshuffle your sleeping schedule. But the reason, again, is you want to have the shmira at night. One shouldn't write on the mezuzah. One should, if the Megiah does not roll them back, that's a pesha as far as I'm concerned, because he really is the one should roll it up. A balabas should not have to roll it up, because, again, you're not trained for rolling it up. But you shouldn't put any sticky tape, cello tape on that. A mezuzah, remember, always has to be put up in a kavua manner. That means that it has to be put up with screws or with nails or with a double-sided mounting tape, not cello tape. Cello tape is temporary. It will wiggle and waggle very shortly. I think we once had something here that I just snatched the mezuzah right off. But it has to be something that is a permanent nature. It can't just be stomp put up there.
Not super glue.
Super glue won't hold.
The water.
No, because the nature of super glue and how super glue works, unless you're putting it on certain rare substances, but the covers, because they're, you know, how they're treated, the super glue just isn't very, you know, it's, not every glue is right for everything. Epoxy will work on virtually everything. Silicon will work on virtually anything. For outside, those are, you know, especially on a textured thing. Silicon, you just put it in, whoop, let it dry, and then you take one of these razor knives and cut around it, and then you pull off the extra on it. That's the best way of doing it. But another question that comes up in checking this is, what happens if I have a hodgepodge? I have some mezuzahs that are Sfardi, some mezuzahs that are Ari, some mezuzahs that are Beis Yosef. Can I use them? Okay. First of all, everyone should have their own minhag. That's ideal. Once you already have them, though, we go on different levels. So there's a tshuva by Rav Osner, where I asked him, what do you do? So he says, first of all, not everybody has the ability to go ahead and buy new mahudim mezuzahs on the place. So we then do a reshuffle. Where are the derises? What are the derabbanins in your home? And we put things up according to your minhag, according to the level of the mezuzah for you. A Sfardi mezuzah is kosher for an Ashkenazi. A Ashkenazi mezuzah is kosher for a Sfardi. it is not preferable because of the union of keeping to one's minhag. But we don't say, because I have X and Visa, right, it's no good buying a new one for me. One of the unfortunate phenomena that happens is the UPS services, the United Postal Service. Everything becomes parcel. The reality is that these are all kosher. Is it preferable? No. Do you have the ability to replace it at the moment? No. Is it better to go ahead and buy two Mohuder Mezuzahs now and then put away and replace another two in another 3 months? Yes. As opposed to buying all lower level. And again, consult a Rav with that who's a mumcha in these areas. But you don't have to go ahead and say it's not good. I asked Rav Avadia Yosef, can you use a Sfardi, use an Ashkenazi mezuzah? And they said yes. Hamaran Beit Yosef Gampa, yeah, Sfardi. You know, so I mean, that's that. I once had was checking, somebody came in to me. I told him he had beautiful, you know, Beit Yosef mezuzahs. He says, oh no, that won't do. I need Ashkenazi mezuzahs. And I said, yes, that is Ashkenazi mezuzahs. Ktav Edot Mizrach is called Ktav Volish. Standard Ashkenaz, Yekish, Litvish, is Beit Yosef. And Chassidish is called Ktav Ari, and Chabad has their own, some Chabad have their own deviation of Ari, which they call Alter Rebbe. But again, what your actual minhag should be, that can... It's the font, as you would say. How does it get explained? It's explained simply like this. When they came to the Aseret Dibros, which the first two Dibros were given in panoramic view, Eish Shachur Al Gabei Eish Lavana, which is why we know parchment is white and ink is black, right? Everybody was on a slightly different angle, all the Shvatim. And the deviations which were seen that manifest ourselves into Halakha Lemaisa on the different Ksivas, all being kosher, but all being slightly different. Mezuzah being put up, whether it should be straight or on a slant. Mezuzah should be, if you're Ashkenazi, slanted inwards. If you're Sephardi, straight up and down, unless you're from Salonika or from Italy, in which case it's also on a slant, just like you read a Sefer Torah. The same base on it. In Salonika, they read, the Sephardim read like Ashkenazi. Minig Istanbul also, by the way. Is it Ma'akev? 100% not. One of the mices that happened during the period of the Crusaders in Yerushalayim, the Sephardim saw that their houses were getting a cross made on the mezuzah, which meant that they had to evacuate, and it never happened to the Ashkenazim. And then they realized that was because it looked like the cross was falling. So all the Sephardim received a takana that they would change accordingly the minhag, and they put it on the angle. That's, you know, Meister Shahayu, you know, from Gedolei Yerushalayim. It is not ma'akiv. What happens if you don't have very much room in the door? Put it up straight. The angle should not be flat. The angle should be an angle, but it doesn't have, there's no degree on the angle per se. What happens if you don't have room on the doorpost? The emphasis is one should extend the doorpost, ideally. It's preferable to extend the doorpost on the entrance, on the outside, versus putting it on the inside. It is fine and very good. I showed this to a number of people. The smaller mezuzah covers will fit inside the frame of the doors that are self-closing, for the most part, for aluminum doors, because the hinge is based that they have the centimeter 0.2 placed on the door on average, and you can fit that cover in the door jamb, which is ideal. It has to be in the frame of the door and not on the side of the door. Okay? That, whether it's a side on the inside or out. But it's always preferable on that. What happens if I have a mezuzah and I checked it and there was, unfortunately, for whatever reason, not kosher? Do I automatically need to say a bracha? And as I said before, the answer is really no. A bracha is only on a place that requires a bracha. A bracha is only said on a place that has a sign which is either a Vaday Deraisa, such as the front door, or a place that has a true Dalid al Dalid, which is a requirement which we say a bracha on. Meaning if we have homes are bigger here than in Eretz Yisrael, a bedroom that has a solid Dalid by Dalid on it. In which case, once again, you would go ahead and say a bracha on it. That's why, again, it's important to know where the mezuzah comes from, which you took off. When we go ahead and we look at wrapping the mezuzah has to be wrapped from the end to the front so that the word Shakai should be seen. Now, it doesn't have to be seen in total. The idea is behind it that you know where it is in order that the mezuzah not be put upside down, chas v'shalom, because if you put it in the mezuzah upside down, it's as if you don't have a mezuzah. So in many cases where I get mezuzahs that are perfectly fine, where people say, I have X story of tzuris in my house, lo aleinu, and when we go ahead and we start to carefully look at it, the mezuzah was put in the cover upside down, it was scotch taped up as opposed to, you know, being put up properly. And these are all things that one should go ahead and be careful about in order to be able to avoid Asashon and Nichshol within. The best thing, I tend to give out a magnet to people that they put on the refrigerator with a school of, you know, losing things so they just don't lose the refrigerator in that case, is to actually put up a little tag I find on your refrigerator with the date, not only when I checked it, but to write the backwards what year that I need to check next. Again, it's a passive-active type of thing. When I know I have to do something, then it gets done. When I know that I did it in the past, it tends to be neglected in the future. Can I check the mezuzahs every year, like it says? The answer is yes. Shulchan Aruch Rav brings down that was the minigan. That is the minigan Chabad. They check the mezuzah every year. Does it potentially damage the mezuzah? Again, if you bring it into the right examiner who does preventive maintenance, the answer is it should not. If you bring it into a person who is not trained properly, and the difference is a trained examiner will look at ink when it becomes a little bit faded, but still kosher, as is, because we have a din of kesidron. We're not allowed to go ahead and just, you know, fix these things. If the mezuzah became puzzle, it's not fixable. However, there are certain things that are permitted to touch up. Example, tagim being broken, small cracks that are only an expert sees, but not a general eye can see. These things can be all repaired. A proper examiner will charge you a few bits more. He will touch up potential problems so that next time around the mezuzah is kosher, as opposed to saying, well, now it's still kosher, but next time you're going to replace it. Anybody has questions, please feel free. Go ahead.
Someone that Terwick mentioned a few months ago that it's an important Indian that you have the Shakai showing rather than the shin on the cover.
That's a machlokes in the Rishonim. There are people of the Kabbalah who want the Shakai shown because that's one of the Shem Hashem. There are other things of sneers, and why it says in Hilchos Tefillin is actually brought down, kis tof kis, that's one of the additional reasons why we have two coverings on it, and it's brought down in the various tshuvas that one should not have a double clear covering, because even in the most modest of homes, one has little teeny children running around who are over the age of three who sometimes run out of the bath all of a sudden, and things like that, and you don't want this little teeny child, or have a guest that, you know, comes to your house who you're being the karev or whoever, who's not dressed in the most ideal fashion in front of the Shem Hashem. In fact, just to prove a point, there is a minhag among some of the Sfardim that some women never went to shul, various ages from around 12 till they were older women, because of the pulling out the Sifrei Torah in a period of time that they were not appropriate for them to be there, and because they didn't want to say this time I'm appropriate and this time I'm not appropriate, so they never came to shul out of a matter of sneis. Same type of backwards logic says the same thing. One shouldn't have a cousin. So again, that's according to certain minhagim, I'll be Kabbalistic, you'll ask different postim, you'll get different weights on the scale on that. Any other questions?
What is the proper concept of any other more important?
So there is a preference, you know, within a home, bedroom, then kitchen. Baba Sala told me 30 years ago, you know, that his opinion was that the kitchen was the most important room. And he said that was the merkaz of the home. And then the bedroom. Other people. And then the larger the room, it goes on. The machlokas that you have, the classic machlokas, are places that are small rooms. Example, a storage room, a balcony. All these places we paskin need a mezuzah, even though they're less than dalet al dalet. Not with a bracha. For sure not with a bracha, because there are machlokes whether you need them. The question is, the classic machlokes is which side does the mezuzah go up on. However, the idea behind it is that even though the room itself is a small room, it's still connected to a big room. So therefore, that's the machlokes. Does it go, the Hazani says, it goes back, the mezuzah goes towards the big room. Shabina Rav says that it goes ahead there. And just to show you the idea, Rav Kutler writes on the same machlokes on Rebbe Akiva Eger's answer, which is Surakian Gogol, that when Aaron Kutler writes in his children, that it's such a machlokes that there is no answer, that they, you know, Gogol adore Rabbi Akiva Eger writes Surah Ian Gogol, he says, when he says Surah Ian, the king given an answer, but he says when he writes Surah Ian Gogol, you're not going to resolve the issue. But the bottom line is that you still need a mezuzah. You'll see it a lot of times in rooms that are for laundry, even a boiler room, that you have a boiler and a couple, you know, odd things on it. I mean, you still need a mezuzah there. One of the places that Shulchan Aruch brings down that you need in this machlokes is a machzan eitzim. Now, what were the eitzim used? They were used for storage wood, for fire. The fire shed. You need that works. You know, you needed a mezuzah there. The kal vachomer is if you need it for the shed that holds the storage wood, then kal vachomer you need it for the boiler room, and you need it for the laundry room, and you need it for the walk-in closet and the pantry. We're not talking about a closet that I literally turn in and I put out, you know, my clothes on. I'm talking about there are closets that are walk-in closets that people, you know, have like this big U and you stand inside of it, and sometimes it's bigger than one of the bedrooms my kids sleep in, but, you know. And you know, but it still needs a mezuzah.
That's good.